And now it's time to chat to Netsy with today's edition of our Nutrition Chats. Netsy, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Wayne.
And Netsy, as I mentioned before the headlines, we're talking about food labels today, and a very important aspect of looking after your health, I suppose, because you need to know what goes into the food that we eat, and those labels are a legal, call it a legal document in inverted commas,
yes.
As to tell you what you're actually eating. Can you explain those labels to us? Because it's all kinds of names and numbers. You know, what do they actually mean?
Yes, so we'll start a little bit with the basics today. So mainly food labels are really there, number one, I think, to help us to make healthier choices. And hopefully what we read on the label is really true.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, obviously, so it's information for us. So if it can help you to avoid or limit foods that you maybe want to avoid or that you are allergic to. And like you said, so according to South African legislation, food labels must carry the name of the product, preferably the name and the address of the manufacturer and the distributor. There should be all the ingredients that is part of that product should be on the list. If you need instructions how to use it, it should be there, mm-hmm. how to store it, as well as a sell-by date or a best before date. So this is basic information that by legislation is supposed to be on a label.
Mm.
And then also very important is common food allergens. We will always read maybe it was packed in a factory where there's nuts, for instance,
yes.
but the product might not necessarily contain nuts. The trace elements. And some people are severely allergic to that, and obviously it can have a reaction show, so they should be warned. So common food allergens in food such as peanuts or tree nuts, eggs, fish, soya, gluten, even wheat. So any of those intolerances then should be, they should be referenced to that so that it can warn you if that's a problem for you. And then very interesting, one of the main things about an ingredient list, it should be printed in descending order according to the mass. So it means that the main ingredient needs to appear first and so on right down to the smallest one.
Right.
So if we think about something maybe like a pasta sauce, if the majority of that sauce is oil, then it will normally be first in terms of oil, maybe then vegetable fat, some other creamer, thickener, and maybe some spices and herbs, for instance, to create that sauce. So that's sort of what you and I also think if you, especially if we look at fat-containing products, one way you, I'm just thinking, is processed meat, for instance.
Yes.
Do yourself a favor. If you turn it around and you read the ingredient list, they will actually maybe say the percentage of meat will be first.
Mm-hmm.
And then second, you will see a thickener or a starch or whatever else, which they use as a filler. So although you think you buy a meat product, it's not to say that it contains 100% meat.
Yes, yes. There's other things in it as well.
Yes, because if you think about processed food or something like boerewors, it's an easy way to give a more cost-effective product if they only have to put 60 or 70% meat in it, and they can fill it with the rest.
Right.
With other ingredients like, and generally starch is something that they often use, whether it's now wheat or oats or any of those things, they can use it as a filler. So by reading it, you can actually see how much meat is really in that product.
Okay.
And then the other information that we get, lots of foods today, they come with claims sort of that the manufacturer puts on it. And I'll explain a little bit about that later. But for instance, high in fiber or low in sodium or low in fat. And I'll talk about what the definition really is of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that's very important, so if you look at the nutritional information, that's sort of the table that they put on the back, one thing that you do want to note perhaps is if you look at the energy content at the top, take note of the portion size. So they would generally say, I'm just taking an example of maybe fish fingers. So they will say per 100 grams, there is about 790 kilojoules in it. But how much is one fish finger? And how much do you really want to consume? So very important to note how much actual portion size is. And then we will work out accordingly how much you would then consume of that specific product. That's also something that they have to let you know. And then if we look at energy content, basically there is obviously sugar and fat are the two main ingredients that contribute to the energy content of a specific foodstuff. So it's okay if there's a small amount of sugar added to food to give obviously a little bit of taste and flavor, but we don't want to consume foodstuffs with high fat and high sugar content. Because obviously if you are weight conscious, then even if you have a small amount of it, because of the energy density, it actually contributes a lot of calories. So okay to have a little bit of sugar. They generally put them in foods that are low in fat, also high in fiber. And if we think about the low glycemic index foods that I've spoken about many times, sometimes in these foods, they will add a little bit of sugar for taste. So, and even in the low fat ones. So we can just use that basically as a guide. So it's okay to use the lower glycemic index foods. Generally, they are higher in fiber, they are lower in fat. So it means that the energy release from that food are slow. It doesn't have a huge impact on your blood glucose levels immediately. So your body does not have to produce so much insulin for you to actually help to utilize that energy. And
I was just going to say, so that would have bearing on somebody that, for instance, suffers from diabetes.
Definitely. So if you are diabetic, you would want to go to the shop and you would want to look for everything that says low glycemic index because it does not have a dramatic effect on your blood glucose levels. So there's two things that's important if you are diabetic. Number one, to choose obviously low fat, low glycemic index. But if it's a starch containing product for like breads or cereals or crackers or anything like that, if you choose the low fat, low GI one, very important to also focus on the portion size. Because even if we eat something that's low GI, if the load is too much, if I'm a diabetic, that's really where it will have a dramatic influence then on your glucose levels. So for you, it would be very important to look at the serving size. So how much is a single serving and how much carbohydrate will I consume in that single serving? So obviously it sounds complicated. If you go and see a dietitian and we work out a meal plan, we will then educate people to look at how much is the serving size. Maybe we want you to have 15 grams of carbohydrate per serving if you are diabetic from a low glycemic index type of food. But then I generally teach people how to read the label and they know exactly what is a portion so that they, and that's where food label is really, really handy because, it's very easy for you to make an informed choice in future.
Right, that makes sense. And just quickly on the diabetic thing as well, is it's no good having something that's low and then having too much of it. I suppose that would be equally counterproductive.
Yeah, so if the load is too much, although it's a good choice, it's also not good for you at all. I always have, there's a little joke that a very good friend of mine, my mom, they are a super health conscious family. And her mom, the one day said, you know what, I battled to lose weight. And she's like, "Mom, but if you eat too much of all the healthy food, you can also gain weight."
Makes sense.
Because it's about the energy that you consume, and you are not burning enough.
Yes,
you
yes.
can still gain weight if you eat a lot of healthy food.
Right. So it's the quantities that matter. In
quantities are very important as well. Then, if something says no sugar added, just be aware that if it's natural sugar like fruit sugars, it still means that there's sugar. It's just maybe not added sugar. So we should look at the grams of carbohydrate. And then added sugars, just some of the names that they put on labels, but all of them really equals added sugar. So it would be things like honey, molasses, or they'll say colored sugar, or maybe something like fruit juice concentrate, or deflavored or deionized fruit juice, fructose, corn syrup. So anything like that would mean that there is actually sugar added. So if the label says no added sugar, it means that none of those things must be on the list.
Yes.
So if there's some, it means that there's sugar.
It's just in a different form. And would that also not then maybe raise flags about what artificial sweeteners are being used, maybe for flavoring, as opposed to normal sugar? You know, that could be another tamaleki, so to speak.
Yeah, so they might say no added sugar, and then there's none of the above that I've mentioned. But exactly like you said, then you will see all of those artificial sweeteners that they've added to create a sweet taste. So there's many of those, but definitely then there will be artificial sweetener. If you can taste sweet and you see none of the added sugar varietals on the label.
Okay.
And with exactly like if you like, for instance, diet foods, if there's something like light or diet or low energy, maybe they did not add sugar, but it actually doesn't mean that that product might not be high in fat. So a very good example of that is maybe something like a diabetic chocolate. There might not be sugar added to it, and they've manufactured it with artificial sweetness, but it doesn't mean that there's no fat in specific product. So sometimes those products are actually higher in fat because they have to create a mouthfeel. They have to create something that you would go back to for buying again, you know. So sometimes it's really, really high in fat, those ones. And then talking about fats, the stuff that we do want to limit on a food label, and generally they are quite good with this when it comes to fat. So we want to avoid trans fat and saturated fats. Mainly, so you don't want to really buy a product which is high in trans fat or saturated fat. You, if the product is naturally high in fat, they would break it down to trans fat, saturated fat, polyunsaturated fat, monounsaturated fat. So if the monounsaturated and the polyunsaturated basically are the higher quantity, it would be a better option than the saturated and the trans fat. And I mean, these days they do try to actually not add trans fat to foods because it's really, really not a good fat to consume when it comes to heart health and cholesterol and all of those things. For interest's sake, if something says that it's low in fat, we actually need that product to be less than 3 grams per 100 grams. So if you look at the nutritional label, it must be less than 3 grams in 100 grams for it to be low fat.
So otherwise they kind of, misleading in a way.
Yes. Then it is definitely, they're not allowed to put that on the label. Dairy these days are quite strict. You'll see that there's fat-free, low fat, medium fat, full fat, double cream. And all of those really is to do with the fat content of the product.
Okay.
So I think in dairy, low fat these days is less than 1.5 grams. Medium fat is between 1.5 and 2. Full fat goes from 3 grams. So then there's 5 grams and there's 7 grams. So that's basically what it means, all those definitions in dairy. And if a product claims that it's trans fat free, it needs to be less than 1 gram of trans fat in 100 gram of food substance. So it needs to be extremely low. And then the other thing which we should have our eye on is how much sodium is really in the manufactured product. Yeah, because it's got a direct impact, obviously, on your blood pressure and other diseases. So if something contains more than 1.5 grams of sodium in 100 gram, we'll say that it is a high salt type of food. So that would mean 1,500 milligrams, if my maths are correct.
Uh-huh.
And then low in salt, we can 0.3 grams will be then classified as low in salt. And then if we get something that is free from sodium, it should be 5 milligrams per 100 gram of sodium.
Okay.
So, yeah, at least you don't want to go over 300 milligrams per 100 gram of food product. And that's very low. If you will be surprised if you look at, for especially processed meat, how much sodium is in 100 grams, it is a lot.
Yeah.
So, if you have high blood pressure, definitely keep your eye on that salt label. And then just some quick definitions, maybe quickly. If they say reduced sugar in a product, then it means that if the original and the reduced sugar version of the same product is next to each other, the reduced version should have 25% less sugar than the original. And this is like fat-free, which I mentioned. Then the product needs to be 0.5 grams per 100 gram. Low in fat would be if it's solid food which contain fat, it should then be less than 3. And in dairy, it should be less than 1.5.
Okay.
And then the low in saturated fats would be 1.5 grams of saturated fat per 100 gram. And if we look at, I'm just quickly thinking mincemeat, generally they will say it's lean, it's extra lean.
Yeah.
So what does that really mean? If there's lean mince, it means that 10 grams per 100 gram of that food substance will be fat. So if you eat 100 grams of mince, 10 grams of that is fat.
Yeah. Yes. And that's kind of, so that's what you can, and just a question, and maybe if I can just use mince as an example.
Yeah.
You know, you go to your corner butchery or for supermarkets for that matter, and you know, you've got like one shelf has got lean mince and the other one has got normal mince. Now, in those environments, there must be a fair amount of error in, you know, how lean is the lean mince or how not lean is the not lean mince. How do they determine that, you know, in the processing?
Realistically speaking, if you make mincemeat, I'll maybe use a piece of topside as an example, which we know naturally maybe does not contain that much fat, then if they have a kilogram of topside, if they want to make regular mince, by law, they can put up to 30% of fat with that. So for 1 kilogram of topside, they'll add 300 grams of
fat. So they actually add fat.
Yes. Obviously, if it's maybe with beef, we know it's got about, say, 10 grams of fat per 100, they might add 20 because naturally in the beef there is that amount of fat. But then with lean mince, they then are allowed to add 100 grams per kilogram, and then extra lean should only be 50 grams per kilogram, and like fat-free should be the meat only.
The meat,
which has
lean
mince.
Yeah, so it's literally whatever was in the meat, that's what you get as mince.
Yeah, so you realistically speaking want to buy extra lean mince if you can.
Yeah,
because that's what you want to aim for.
Because there's nothing added.
No, extra lean mince might have 50 grams per 100, okay. So it will be 5 grams per 100 gram. But for mince, we would actually say that's acceptable. Unless you, I always say, if you've got a good relationship with a butcher, ask him to mince you meat and just take the meat home.
Yeah.
Ask him not to add any other fat. And the same, if you love sausage, let somebody make you sausage without fat with some nice spice or whatever else, because you can still create a nice piece of a patty or a sausage or mince without having to add the fat.
Right. So, and yeah, the salt, for that matter, you could maybe use spices and things to add flavor.
Yes, to add flavor. So that's basically what it means in terms of fat. And then low cholesterol, if it's on a label, should be less than 20 milligrams per 100 and less than 10 milligrams in 100 ml. And then the very last one would be fiber. So if a product claims to be high in fiber, there should be at least 6 grams of fiber in 100 grams. So remember, our daily amount is 25 grams of fiber that we should consume. So if you eat a cereal that claims to be high in fiber, they should be at least 6 grams per 100 gram of that specific product.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that information is all on the respective food labels. So, you know, depending what's in the product, that's, you know, everything that you need to know in planning your diet. If you've got, would I be correct in saying that, let's say, for instance, I came to visit to Netsi, and you said, I need to have so much of this, so much of that, so much of the next in a daily diet. I could actually go to the supermarket, look at the labels and say, okay, I need to have so much of this because there's so much fiber in that particular product. You can work it out from there.
If I'm just for fiber, for instance, if we think you can have some cereal for breakfast, maybe some legumes for lunch and some brown rice for dinner, you can actually work out exactly how many milligrams of fiber you will be consuming by the end of that day.
Right, right.
That information you should find on the label.
On the labels. So you could, you could, if you know what you're looking at and looking for, you could actually make educated choices.
Yes. Definitely.
I think that's the main thing. And I mean, wow, labels, lots of, you know, in the looking at stories with all the food poisoning issues and all that, you know, labels are vitally, vitally important, not only from health, but also your use-by, sell-by dates and things like that.
Yes, definitely. That sell-by date is a very important thing. If it's a something that could that had a shelf life, for instance, I would not really go over that.
That particular date.
Yeah. No.
Just to keep the food good. And it's
sometimes they keep a little bit of room for error in terms of time, but
generally,
I don't think you should go more than a month or something like that.
Oh, definitely not. But unfortunately, running out of time. But Netsi, thank you very, very much. And just lastly, if somebody wants to chat to you and find out more about the services you offer, how do they get in touch?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at Netsi.
Great. So Netsi, thank you very much. Have a great week and looking forward to chatting next week.
Thanks so much, Ryan.
Cheerio then. Bye-bye. That's Netsi with today's nutrition chat and advice from hers. You know, read those labels and some good advice as to exactly how to read the labels. We've got news coming up at the top of the hour.